Amazon is often said to be the lungs of our planet and contributes up to 15% of our oxygen. In fact, two mature trees can give a family of four enough oxygen for a year. But did you know these leafy giants are also emitting greenhouse gases? Right now, I'm joined by Luke Jeffrey, a research fellow at Southern Cross University, to unpack treethane and the microbes that eat it. Good morning, Luke. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, thank you. How are you, Willie?
I'm well, thank you. Now, first of all, trees emit methane. Is this something we should be concerned about?
No, absolutely not. I guess it's just a relatively new understanding in science that trees emit methane, but trees have been doing this probably ever since there were trees.
They've been doing their thing for a while, hey?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're...
It's just the science involved is only just catching up.
Yeah.
I guess the story goes about 100 years ago, there was a scientist in Kansas who actually discovered methane within the trunk of a tree. But I guess for the last century, it's been largely overlooked by science. It's only really the last 10 or 15 years or so that we've been taking a bit more interest in the methane emissions from trees. That's obviously to do with climate change and looking for all the sources of methane and the sinks of methane.
Yeah. And your research identified that it was paperback trees that were emitting methane. Is it a process that occurs in all trees throughout their sort of life cycle, or are some more potent than others?
Sure, that's a really good question. At this stage, it looks like not all trees emit methane. So the trees that we've been focusing on are mostly wetland species, or lowland or swamps, depending on where you're from. That's what you call them. But wetlands are actually the Earth's largest natural producer of methane. And that's kind of a byproduct of the amount of carbon that they store. So if you've ever walked into a wetland, you'll probably sink up to your knees in mud. And that's actually the carbon dioxide that these wetlands capture. But methane is a bit of a byproduct. So in the trees themselves, we actually don't believe that in the trees we've been studying, such as paperbarks, that there's not much methane being produced in them. They're merely like a conduit or a straw from the soil below, and the methane is coming up from the wetland soils and out through the trunks of the trees themselves.
Right, okay. So how did your research lead to identifying the methane-eating microbes, and how effective are they in converting methane into carbon dioxide?
We spend a lot of time in wetlands, a lot of days and a lot of nights. And I guess, while we're doing that work, we have lots of discussions too. And so with a couple of my supervisors, Professor Damien Marr and Professor Scott Johnson, we kind of toyed with the idea that if there's methane coming out of these trees, then perhaps, I guess, biology and life has evolved to consume that methane too. So, I guess during the COVID lockdown period, when lots of our other fieldwork was cancelled, we kind of saw this as a good time to do some, I guess, lab-based experiments where we could test this hypothesis we had. And, the lab tests we did actually proved that we collected some bark and we put this in bottles. We dosed them up with methane, and using kind of high-tech equipment, we could actually measure the amount of methane that was being consumed from this bark that we'd collected. And we did a bunch of field experiments as well, and we put a number that 40% of the methane that was coming up from the soil was actually being consumed by these microbes living within the trunks of the trees. So they're almost acting like, I guess, a filter in the trees to filter out about 40% of the wetland methane emissions.
Yep. Is it possible for these microbes to be transplanted into other industries, like, let's say, dairy cows, to reduce their methane production?
That's also a good question. And I'm not a microbiologist by trade. I'm a biogeochemist. I guess it's possible, but also my understanding is that microbes can be a bit picky, and they tend to sort of live and evolve in a habitat that they like. So there's probably... the conditions of a cow would be much different to the conditions of a tree bark.
Yeah.
Well, I have heard that there is promising research with cow emissions and feeding them seaweed, but that's a whole other story.
That's a whole another science journey. Hey, Dr. Luke Jeffrey, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Really interesting stuff.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.